Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
Matthew 5, 6, and 7, that's where we will be. I am going to read verses 1 through 5. We're going to talk about verses 1 through 5 a bit this morning. However, before we read those, what I would like to do, if it's, we'll see how it goes. But I'd love to hear your thoughts from memory, from whatever, like whenever you hear the Sermon on the Mount, what is it that you hear? What is it that you think? Like, what is it that is in that when you think of, like when you heard me tell us, I don't know how many months ago, maybe two months ago or so, when I first started saying, hey, this is where we're going to go as we wrap up Ephesians, as we move into 2024. What is it? Like, what do you know about the Sermon on the Mount that makes it unique, that makes it a place where we go to? So I'm going to just leave that open real quick. So if you're online or in this room, online, chat it in. Jude, if you could yell at me if there's any that comes in this room, let me know what it is that you think of when you hear the Sermon on the Mount. All right. Let me tell you what I think of when I hear it. Oh, Barbara. Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's kind of like directions or a roadmap for how to live the Christian life.
Okay. Yeah, I would say that would have been one of the things that I would have probably said, that there's some kind of direction or roadmap on how to live a Christian life. So, yes, absolutely. Anything else? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I thought so. To me, it's like giving hope and knowledge.
Yeah, okay. So Naaman asks, is that where the Beatitudes are? And yeah, they are. That's where I actually read three of them this morning. But Naaman said that one of the things he thinks comes through that, too, is in this love that comes through that. And we certainly see that. God is saying, you are blessed for these different things. And we'll talk about that a bit. Yeah, I wouldn't say you're wrong. I don't know the Beatitudes parallel exactly. Like, it'd be interesting. Maybe they do. I've never done a study on that. But yeah, certainly there is a parallel to fruits of spirit. Why would that be? Because it's the same God, right? This is just God the Son in human form talking. The God the Spirit who gives the fruit, these fruit that we read from Paul. It's the same thing. So, yeah, absolutely, that would be a part of it. Jude, did you raise your hand because you had something or somebody was online, or did I just make that up in my head? Made it up in my head. Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I think of when I think of Matthew as a whole, and it starts out like it, the Sermon on the Mount kind of starts it, but then we keep going through Matthew, and the themes just continue. One of the biggest themes in Matthew is the kingdom of God. When we hear Jesus talking in Matthew, he talks a lot about the kingdom of God. Matthew is the place where those little short parables are recorded, right? The parable of the sower, the parable of the talents, the parable of the mustard seed. All these, I mean, and there's like a couple chapters in a row where there's probably like five or six short parables within that. And they all start out, the kingdom of God is like. And so when I think of Matthew, just generally speaking, I think of the kingdom of God. The Sermon on the Mount kind of kicks that off. But the other thing I think of when I think of Matthew, and you can see it right up here if you can read that. You may not be able to read it. That's okay. But it says the upside down kingdom. Because it starts with the Beatitudes, like Naaman just brought up, but it actually follows through all those little parables. The kingdom of God is like this thing. And if you're a Jewish person, or if you're anybody who is trying to leverage the kingdom of God to finally get status or freedom or whatever it may be, you're hoping for the kingdom of God to be something, right? To be this force that's going to come in and do something good. And Jesus starts out that way, right? He starts out saying, blessed are these people. And you're like, yes, that's what we want. We want the poor to be blessed. We want the hungry to be filled. We want the meek to inherit the earth was a different one, right? But we want all these things. So how are you going to do it? And then as Jesus begins to lay out how he's going to do it, it's different than what they thought. It's a little bit upside down. And so that's what I think of. Is there anybody else before we jump into reading the first five verses? Actually, before I read the first five verses, I just want to tell you, since I prefaced that about this upside down kingdom, or you may hear, like if you ever listen to, like my buddy Al used to always do, you go and listen to these sermons all the time, you may hear, like before we'd have the message, so you hear all these really good people preach, and then he'd come in here. And then he'd come back to me and say, this is where you missed it, Friday night. No, he never did that. But if you may hear like a subservient kind of message or a gospel, subversive, like you kind of like it's not happening the way you expect. So I don't know. Does anybody remember there was a British film that came out in sometime in the 50s, which I know is stretching us a bit, but it was called The Sound Barrier. Anybody see this movie? So what it was about, it's about the first people who broke the sound barrier. And people didn't think it could happen. Anybody know what speed 737? People didn't think it could happen. Now, just a quick story about the sound barrier being broken. Nellie and I, first year we were married, we moved down to Tampa to help plant a church down there. And one night we're in our house, and the whole house just shakes. I mean, it sounded like something hit the roof, and I'm like, what in the world was that? Well, being a boy from South Carolina, and now in Tampa, all the houses are like this on top of each other. It took me about 15 minutes to push mow my grass. Like, this is how small the lots are. And so we lived in a very large neighborhood. It was the largest neighborhood in Florida at the time. And our little subdivision within this neighborhood was probably 40, 50 houses. But it wasn't even like a half mile circle around. I mean, we were just piled on top of each other. And I hear this, I'm like, what in the world is that? Well, being a boy from South Carolina, I get my shotgun, and I'm walking around the house like, what is going on? And my neighbor looks at me, he's like, what are you doing? It's like, man, like something just hit my roof or something. The whole house shook. He's like, that was a shuttle coming back in from space. They break the sound barrier, and I was like, oh, okay, makes more sense. So when this, what's that? We just heard one, yeah. But that's what happens. Like, we know that now. Like, we lived, you know, this was in 1952 when they're talking about breaking the sound barrier, and it had already been broken by the time this movie was made. So, but they were talking about this fear going into it. And so now we've lived for, you know, 70, 80, 90 years knowing what it's like when the sound barrier is broken. But they didn't, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And in this movie, and I'll just tell you the movie, the sound barrier isn't real, okay? But in this movie, every time the sound barrier was going to be broken, the plane would just disintegrate or it would stop working and fall out of the sky. All this stuff would happen. People didn't think it could happen. And the movie follows along this line where this one pilot who finally broke the sound barrier, and they interviewed him, and he said that's not how it happened. But it's an interesting part of the movie. In this movie, he figured out that when he broke the sound barrier, the controls worked backwards. So rather than pulling back and the plane going up, he had to push forward and the plane would go up. So in the movie, he tries it, breaks a sound barrier, and as soon as he gets to that speed, he starts doing the controls all backwards. And it works, and it flies flawlessly, and this whole thing. Again, that is not how it happened in reality, but it paints a really decent picture of what Jesus is, of what we read in the Sermon on the Mount. Like God's saying, here's what you're expecting to happen, and here's what's actually about to happen. Here's what is happening. I am here now. And so we're going to talk about that a bit. But let me read verses 1 through 5 of Matthew 5. We'll pray and we'll chat about it. I'll give you another opportunity to talk. So the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 verse 1 says this. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside. And after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the humble, for they will inherit the earth." Your translation may say meek. And those are the first five verses, and we're not going to go much further than that today. So let's pray. God, as we read these words from your teachings a couple thousand years ago, we pray that you would enlighten our hearts, open our minds. May we see and hear you. May we understand. We pray for wisdom. We love you, God. In your name, amen. So we've read the first five verses. Jesus sees the crowds. He goes up on a mountain. His disciples come to him. He sits down. He begins to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek or the humble, for they will inherit the earth." Any observations, any questions, any enlightenment, anything that you want to share or speak into this, I'd love to hear it. This is the very beginning of this upside-down kingdom. This thing is different. Remember who Jesus has come to. He has come to the Jewish people specifically. He came for all of humanity, but in his earthly ministry, he was here with the Jewish people specifically. In fact, the one time that someone who wasn't fully Jewish came to Jesus, they had to convince him. Remember the lady who came, wanted healing for her daughter? She said, "No, get away from me. I'm here for Israel." And her response was, "Even the dogs get to eat scraps from the master's table." And Jesus, "Okay, because of this faith you have, your daughter is going to be healed." And so Jesus, when he was here like walking, he was here teaching the Jewish folks. They were the ones who were promised the Messiah. They were the ones that Abraham had this promise, had this call from God, go out and do this thing. Moses continued that. It continued through David. It continued through the kings. And we get all the way up to where at the beginning of Matthew, we read the lineage of Jesus from Adam through Abraham, through Moses, through some of the kings, not every one of them, all the way down through till we get to Matthew. And this is, so Jesus came Jesus came for all of us. He came to the Jewish people specifically. This was the promise that Abraham had that all the earth will be blessed because of you. Your seed will be the blessing of the nations. That seed was the Messiah, the promised one was coming. And what did they think? They had been conquered, right? Been conquered by many people. The Babylonians came first. And then there was the Medes. And then there were others before Rome then took over all those. And Israel has this promise, like we're supposed to be a big deal. God's promised us that. They didn't understand the promise. Their promise was, "I'll make you great. I will multiply you. If you follow my commands, I will always bless you. all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed because of who they were. And Jesus was here to tell them, all nations are going to be blessed because of who I am. And as he begins to announce this kingdom that has come, he starts out by telling them, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek, or the humble. Those who aren't outspoken, the lowly, the one nobody expects, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Or they will inherit the earth. Sorry, they will inherit the earth. And it's different than what they thought. Because what they were thinking is, blessed are the mighty. Blessed are the strong. That's what we want. We want a Messiah who's going to do that. And Jesus said, it ain't going to be like that. I'm going to do it differently. I'm still going to do it. It's just not going to happen the way you want it to happen or expected it to happen. And that was a big deal. That was a real big deal. What does it mean to be? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Poor in spirit. We had this discussion on Thursday, one of the guys. What does it mean to be poor in spirit?
My translation, NLT, said, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for
them. Yeah. Well, it's about it, right, Bill?
Yep.
Yeah. Forever, for a long time.
Spiritually bankrupt. So
right.
We are people, and that's not a bad thing.
Right.
We should be dependent on God.
Right.
Leadership. We're just poor in spirit. We don't know what to
do. Yeah, right. That's exactly it. This poor in spirit. So we actually got nerdy and went all the way to the Greek, and the word poor is exactly what you would think. It was the destitute, without means, and the spirit was pneuma, which is the same word. It can be translated in the Holy Spirit. It can be translated in just kind of a human spirit, like your soul. It can be translated in a lot of different ways, and so it's one of those things that when you're translating from a different language, you got to kind of figure out what works in the best context. But it really seems like what Jesus was saying was, blessed are those who are lowly in spirit, who are poor, who are destitute, who don't have the means for themselves, because why? What's that? Well, they don't have the Holy Spirit, and blessed are those people who recognize their need for that, right? That they're lowly in their own spirit, and now they're not trying to build up on their own self. Or saying, I did this on my own. But they're in this place of, I need Jesus to do it for me. I need God to do this for me. I don't know who all was in that crowd, but I can tell you, if there were any high priests, if there were any Pharisees or any Sadducees, they would not have loved that language. Because they had spent their whole life doing it for themselves. Being as pious as they could, keeping the Ten Commandments, keeping all the other things. Paul said it best. He's like, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. When it came to the law, I didn't mess up at all. And a person like that could think, I'm doing it on my own. I'm doing this stuff. And God is saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who actually don't have that, because they realize they're in deficit when they look at the greatness and the holiness and grandness of God. They realize they need Him, which was part of the point. God wasn't trying to give a rule book on how you can do it for yourself. God was trying to help us to understand through these words of Jesus that we needed to rely and depend on Him. Blessed are those who are hungry, for they will be filled. Reading that helps us to understand, in my opinion, that we need God to work. Because we know hungry people who aren't filled, right? So we know the kingdom of God is not yet here fully. But Jesus is talking about it here. He says, blessed are those who are hungry, for they will be filled. And we see Sally Struthers, I don't know if she's starving, who aren't filled. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been to places where people were hungry. I was in the streets of Rwanda where the street kids got 3 meals a week. Not a day, a week. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. This is Jesus kind of announcing the kingdom has come, but it's not yet here. But answer me this. Were there any hungry people with Jesus? There were hungry people there, but did Jesus feed them? Yeah. He took fish and loaves and turned them into a feast. Like, so when the kingdom of God, when God was right there, those needs were met. And I think a little bit of it has to do with, as God leaves, and he tells his disciples later in Matthew, go, you are sent. As the Father sent me, so I send you, go out. And I think that that is God telling them as they go out, you announce the kingdom. You bring the kingdom of God with you. In fact, a little bit later in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we'll read it in Matthew 6, we have what we call the Lord's Prayer, right? Lord, let your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came, he brought heaven with him, right? It was walked amongst us, and there weren't hungry people. There were hungry people who met him. They weren't hungry people when they left him. There were sick people when they met him. There weren't sick people when they left him. But we know there's sick people today. There's hungry people today. There are people who are meek. There are people who are destitute. And God's saying the kingdom of God is for them. Can you imagine how liberating that would be to be one of those folks in that crowd that day? Can you imagine how infuriating that would be if you were one of those people who'd spent your whole life trying to do it yourself and thinking you were doing a really good job? Not to offer a list of what sort of people God normally blesses. There is a list that we have here, but that's not the point of it, because we know that that hasn't yet fully come 100%. The point is to announce God's new covenant. And I thought this was real interesting when I was able to dissect, through the help of some commentary, Matthew 1 through 4. The point was to announce God's new covenant. Because think of Deuteronomy. I'm reading Deuteronomy right now. The people came through the wilderness, right? They come up to the border of the promised land. They get to that border, and God gives them a solemn covenant. And if you remember, he told Joshua, set up some stones so you remember this, right? He listed the blessings and the curses that would come on them. The blessings that would come on them if they obeyed God, and the curses that would come on them if they didn't. And now, here is Matthew showing us Jesus. Now think of the journey of Jesus in the book of Matthew. He comes out of Egypt in Matthew 2 as a baby. He goes through the waters and through the wilderness, right? Remember, he was tempted by Satan in chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And then into the land of promise, back into Israel. And in verse 4, he's doing all these miracles at the end of verse 4, right when this happens. And here he is now announcing a new covenant. Isn't that neat how Matthew laid that out to help the Jewish person? And so going into the wilderness, coming back into the promised land, into Israel, and now announcing this new covenant. This thing is going to be a little bit different than what they expected. And those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, who kind of understood what Paul was talking about to the Ephesians, open the eyes of my heart, they were able to see, and that was exciting and it was beautiful. And for those people who are closed off, it's like, nope, the only kind of Messiah and Savior I want is the one that is coming with power. The power I'm expecting there to be. They were infuriated. They were disenfranchised. They walked away. Those who follow Jesus are to begin to live by this rule, this upside down kind of thing. Point of a certain amount is that these Beatitudes in particular, that they are a summons to live in the present in a way that will make sense of the future that is to come, of God's promised future. It's a future that did arrive in Jesus. And just like that pilot in that movie, it seems upside down. It seems different. But we're called to believe with great boldness, probably a little bit of daringness, that this is in fact the right way up. That is the call. That is the kind of the thing for the believer, is that we are to understand that this is the way to the kingdom of God. This is the way to participate and to announce the kingdom of God. It's different. It's not with the power that we're told we're supposed to seek from everybody out there, right? Because that power is money, it's prestige, it's position. And Jesus starts out here, blessed. The poor in spirit are blessed because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The hungry are filled. The meek are those who inherit the earth. And that's exact opposite of what everybody tells you. But Jesus said, this is the way it is. And so that is why it is with great boldness and daring that we live into that. Because if we believe that Jesus is who he said he was, then we need to follow his teaching. And so this is how we're going to level set the Sermon on the Mount. The very beginning, as we start out, the first Sunday in January, as we follow this, that it's not seeking power. It's not seeking prestige. It's not seeking money. It's seeking Jesus and letting Jesus do the transforming. Now, sometimes with that, Jesus does bless us in a way where we have power. What is that power for? Like power, like somebody gives us, like a position or a elected position or whatever. God's given everybody something. It's not that God says any one trade or career path is wrong. It's not to say, Jesus didn't say rich people can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He just said it's going to be a little harder for them. Why? Because you begin to think, I did some of this on my own. So it takes some humility. It takes this meekness to realize, I didn't. It was because of what God did. It's because God empowered me. It's because God blessed me. And I've been blessed to be a blessing. I got this position to be a blessing. I got this bank account to be a blessing. I got whatever it is, this power that someone gave me because they voted for me, to be a blessing for people, not to use it for my own good. Or not so any one person could get it. Who did Jesus come for? Yeah, everybody. Yeah, we were all lost. Everybody. Jesus came for all of us. So nobody's left out of the equation. Nobody's any more in need than the next. But we can believe the false narrative sometimes, because that's what comes out. Because that's what the world would tell us. That's why there was warnings that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against, like we just read in Ephesians, but against the principalities, against the dark forces, against the things. So the people who disagree with us, they're not bad people. The dark forces are just convincing them that that's the way to be. And God's saying, hey, you got to be different. So we're about to quickly transition. So we're going to go from Beatitudes. We still got a couple weeks on the Beatitudes. We're going to talk through some of them. And then we get to this really cool scripture where Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are a city on a hill. You are the change agent. You are the thing that's going to bring light to darkness. It's going to be because of you. And how do we do that? We're starting to lay this out a bit. It's not a checklist. You don't see Paul or Peter, John, Jude, or any other writers of the New Testament that kind of formed the book after these Gospels. It's not a checklist saying make sure. It's just, this is who we are because of who God is. And when we start to let arrogance get in there, or we start to kind of get wayward, God's Holy Spirit corrects us. moves us gently back to where we need to be. And so it's a beautiful thing that, that Jesus is announcing here. The kingdom of God is not like you Hebrews were now. We're different because we've kind of lived into this a bit. We were born this way. They're finding out for the first time, and Jesus is saying it's not like you thought it was going to be. But we have been lied to by non-believers, right? Politicians and media sources and corporations and whatever is saying that. No, we got to seek power. And the reason we want to seek power is so that we can do good. And Jesus said, no, I am the source of all power. It's me. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize they're deficient and they need me. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek. Those who, even if they're wealthy and even if they have power, realize it's not from them and they did nothing to gain it. And it can be taken away like that. Blessed are those, for they will inherit the earth. And Jesus brings this new covenant in. And it's a beautiful thing for all of us. Because none of us are left out. Think of the system that Jesus is teaching this to. There were these people. There was always somebody in charge, right? First it was Abraham, and then they were kind of put into captivity by Egypt. They kind of sold themselves actually to Egypt, and then they come out. It's Moses, and then it gets passed on to Joshua, and then they beg for judges, and then they beg for kings. And so there was always somebody who was in charge that was anointed by God. And so that is all they can think of in their brains. And you can understand that. Like, that's not a bad, I mean, you can't fault them, right? That's all they can think of. That's the way the world system works. And Jesus comes in the middle of this. And even in the middle of it, they've created hierarchies within their own religious structure. And there's a high priest. And there are lesser priests. And then there are Pharisees. And there are Sadducees. And there are people who learn all this stuff. And then there are the dumb folk, right? And that's literally what happened. Is the young boys, girls stayed at home, right? But the young boys would go and learn in the temple. And if they weren't smart enough to memorize all the stuff they needed to memorize and recite all stuff they needed to recite, then they just went back and worked in their family's business, whatever that would be, fishing, carpentry, tent making, swordsmith. I don't know what all they were. They just go and work. And those who weren't then became these, like, well-to-do folk in the temple and in the synagogue structure. And so even within their religion, they created these structures. And Jesus said, well, we're going to flip that upside down. Everybody actually gets a piece of it. And it's not just you guys hoarding all the knowledge. Now I'm going to send my spirit who's going to give knowledge. I'm going to send my spirit who's going to give wisdom. I'm going to send my spirit who's going to give strength. And it shook things up. And so we're kind of doing an intro this morning, and I like those first three verses of this Beatitudes because they kind of help us out, kind of get this kind of upside down, subservient, kind of subversive kingdom thing going. But that's what's going to be happening through all of Matthew is, in fact, we're about to move into a spot where it says, you've heard this, but I'm telling you this. You've heard this, but I'm telling you this. Where Jesus is just kind of changing it a bit. And he starts out here. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who are deficient of me, who realize they can't do it on their own, because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Blessed are the meek, or the humble, for they will inherit the earth. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful that you call and choose each of us, that you have chosen us, just like we read in Ephesians last week. We are adopted into your family. God, forgive us when we try to seek power in manners and ways that you don't have for us. Forgive us when we believe the lie that we're told that we have to have all these different things to have any kind of influence. God, may we realize that you're all we need. God, would you move us by your Spirit to hear you and to love you? To be willing to share that with others and not hoard what we have or not try to hold it over others. God, we know that you give from a place of abundance, and so can we. That everything we have is because of you, and so for that we're thankful. We love you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. In the seat pocket in front of you, there is this. It's the Apostles' Creed. If you join us online, it's in the notes section. I invite you to stand with me if you're able and repeat after me these, or not repeat after me, but say with me these words of the Apostles' Creed, starting with this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaicbeasley.org.